Hi everyone, I'm Veer.
And I'm Shraddha.
And you're listening to our podcast, The State of Local TV News.
In today's podcast, we'll talk to three local TV news reporters and examine some of the current challenges that plague the industry. We'll also ask them some of the measures to help resolve them. All three of our guests are alumni of Northeastern's journalism program, with each having begun their successful local TV news career.
Our first guest is Brianna Hollis. She's a multimedia journalist at Wisconsin's WOW TV, Newsline 9.
Just to begin the interview, could you tell us a little more about your journey, starting with graduating from Northeastern J School and then going on and working in a local TV news station?
Yeah, so I actually, it was funny. I studied print at Northeastern, and I really thought that I wanted to write for Time Magazine. That was my big thing. But then it was a couple months before graduation, and I freaked out, and I was like, I need to learn broadcast. You know, I didn't have a lick of experience. I took, you know, Journalism 3, which was a visual journalism class, but mm-hmm. that was it. So I really didn't know a lot. So had like a mini freak out, but then my Baudette actually came to my rescue and told me there was a writer's opening at Fox 25, now Boston 25, WMXT in Boston.
Right.
And he encouraged me to go interview for the job. The executive producer took a chance on me. She liked my writing, and I began working before I even officially graduated.
That's
with a morning show. So I was coming in at 1 a.m. been working until like 9:30. It was a really, really cool experience. Mm-hmm. There was definitely a little bit of a learning curve to start, but I really liked my team, so I worked hard for them, picked it up quickly. Mm-hmm. But soon enough, I realized that I wanted to be generating my own content. Mm-hmm. I wanted to be out in the community again, mm-hmm. asking people questions, doing all of that. Right. So I asked one of the reporters who I had gotten close with, what, you know, how he got into it and everything. And he said, hey, why don't you just come shadow me on your off days? You can see if you like it.
Right.
I did. I loved it. And then they helped me there, put a reel together, and mm-hmm. I applied to, I think, 40 different stations across the country.
Yeah.
And landed here in good old Wausau, Wisconsin, where there's a massive snowstorm outside.
Right.
And, I started here in June 2016. Mm-hmm. It's a multimedia journalist position, so I do everything. I write, shoot, edit.
Right.
All my own stuff. I really, really enjoy it, and I like the creative freedom I have, and I like the challenges that it poses, even though I complain about them sometimes.
Right.
It's really cool knowing that you're doing something completely from start to finish.
Then what are some of the things that, are the things you would like to change, or the things that you find are perfectly fine? Like, what are your thoughts on some of the way industry works?
So it's definitely at a precarious spot right now, because as, you know, the generation ages out that used to really come home, sit down, and watch a full newscast, mm-hmm. We still have them. And I know when we look at our market viewers and stuff, the people that do that are the senior citizens, you know, the people that have a routine.
Right.
They come home at 5, they turn on the news, they watch the 5 o'clock show, then they watch the mm-hmm. 6 o'clock show. That's kind of starting to go away.
The target audience is not just a middle-aged mother who has to go to a gym and who has, a family, or senior citizens, but it's also millennials. And we see so many technological disruptions in terms of their consumption habits. You know, they want everything on phone, they want everything online. So what kind of experimentation are we seeing in local TV news production?
So we're focusing a lot on, so Facebook's been changing its algorithms quite frequently lately, so that's something that we've been trying to keep up with.
Mm-hmm.
It's been interesting. It changed to start showing things more from family and friends than it did news organizations.
Right.
But we found out that if we post videos, mm-hmm. those end up showing up. So that was something we played around with for a while,
mm-hmm.
Which of course ended up taking more time for everybody, but we're like, okay, this is what's going to reach people, this is what's going to reach people.
Mm-hmm.
So that was something that we looked into. You know, they're telling us we need to focus more on putting things online and like thinking about being digital and all of that.
Mm-hmm.
The difficult part of that for people in my position is that we are out in the field all day, we're running around,
right.
we're trying to put our story together for the show.
Mm-hmm.
By the time we get to writing a story for the website, we're burnt out.
Right.
And, you know, I definitely don't put as much thought into my writing my web story as I do writing my package, but we do right. attach our video still to the website. We share it on our personal professional pages,
right.
we share it on the station page, all of that. But And, you know, they're asking us to provide updates throughout the day, and mm-hmm. I can try to do that sometimes, but yes. I do think that would be something that would be much more helpful. Yes. If I could actually do that during the day, I think that would help generate more interest. People like, oh, this is something that's interesting, right. Happening. This is something, okay, here's the big picture, now I can go watch it.
Right.
And stuff like that. But it's just, for in small markets, that's unrealistic, but we mm-hmm. have talked about, you know, the necessity of that.
Right.
And we're trying to still find a compromise. You know, we're still trying to find our legs here with the digital revolution constantly changing, and mm-hmm. us being both behind a little bit technology, behind resource wise, and also kind of behind culturally in the area that we're in here in Wisconsin.
We observed that there was disproportionately large segment of newscast, which covers the, you know, crime, accident, and disaster, or weather. You know, there's a disproportionately large coverage of crime, accident, disaster, and weather, and very little coverage, or, you know, to some extent, almost absence of stories on health, civic stories, science and technology stories, or serious cultural and social issues. So what are your opinion as somebody who's been in the industry for 2 years?
I definitely think, you know, it comes with a balance, you know, and it's, we get, you know, messages all the time, people saying, oh, everything's so upset, like everything's mm-hmm. so sad, everything's so dark, and, you know, especially, and it's different, you know, coming from Boston, where it was like, we wouldn't cover every shooting in the area, whereas here in Wausau, mm-hmm. every time there's a shooting, it's a massive, you know, mm-hmm. ordeal, and I'm not trying to personally undermine any violence, but, mm-hmm. It's definitely, you know, different geographically there.
So, you know, we've been reading the book We Interrupt the Newscast by Tom Rosenthal and other authors. So, you know, Rosenthal says when he's discussing the challenges of local news TVs that, I'll just read from the book, this sure. pattern, mayhem at the top, teasable soft features at the end, and the rest of the day's news in the middle, creates the easily recognizable standard story order. Do you think this pattern is still valid?
Actually, yeah, that's pretty much like nail on the head right there. What we do, start with a hard news story, it's bigger. And, you know, sometimes here, for me personally, we don't have a really big hard-hitting story. Sometimes mm-hmm. it's kind of a stretch, but we definitely, and I produce and I anchor too, so I do a little bit of everything. So our A block,
right.
You know, we start with the harder news, the big stuff, and we always try to end our A block still with something a little bit lighter.
Mm-hmm.
And then the B block will either be, depending on what we do, we'll either put our national news in the B block, keep our A block local, or maybe lighter political news in the B block.
Right.
Or that's also a really good spot for our local features, C block weather, mm-hmm. D block sports, and then mm-hmm. our last block is our kicker. We always end with something light,
right.
Unless there isn't time during the show and we go over and we have to pull it out and we just end with weather. But yeah, that's pretty, you know, standard. On a template. And I hate the idea of having to work on a template. It kind
right.
of is frustrating.
Right.
But that's really interesting that, yeah, that pretty much matches up exactly with what we do.
Thank you so much, Brian. I really appreciate it.
Yes, thank you for your time.
Yeah, of course. It was nice meeting you guys. Good luck at school.
Our second guest is Drew Caritas. He's a general assignment reporter at Boston 25 News.
You know, just beginning with our first question, could you tell us a little more about what was your experience, you know, right from graduating from journalism school at Northeastern University and joining local TV news?
As I graduated, I had a tape, pretty polished tape, that I had sent out to, you know, any market that would give me the time of day. And so mm-hmm. my first job was Green Bay, Wisconsin, and packed up my bags, I think, about a month after graduating, moved there, mm-hmm. and then just sort of follow the journey after that to Las Vegas, then Houston, and then finally the homecoming back to Boston, which was in March
right.
of last year.
We shared with Drew the same quote from We Interrupt This Newscast that we had of Brianna. However, he did not believe this template held true for all local news.
I think at Boston 25 News and the other outlets I've worked for, the demand has always been the same, and it's been to, you know, find the story that people are talking about, find the stories people care about, where it falls in the newscast, I don't think is always the top priority, as mm-hmm. it is to find the story and to get the real people affected by the story. I think, you know, what you're referring to, I don't think that that has been my experience, but mm-hmm. I can't speak for everybody in the industry. I mean, my experience hasn't necessarily been we must cover X, Y, and Z. Of course, there is breaking news and there is mm-hmm. urgent things that are happening that do get covered. Mm-hmm. But in terms of my experience, where I'm at now, I think if the reporters or the producers or any of the journalists that we work with are passionate about a story and mm-hmm. convey that to our team, I think that I've found that they're open to doing those stories. I don't know that things have to fit in a box. The way we work at Boston 25 News, we're big on enterprising. Mm-hmm. So we meet every day. The reporters aren't assigned a story. We pitch what we feel like should be covered and why, and we go from there. So I think a lot of it is in the hands of mm-hmm. the reporters that we're working with.
You say Boston 25 a lot, but did this hold true with your other locations in Green Bay, Las Vegas, etc.? Was there a similar philosophy?
I think the bigger the market, it was more of a similar philosophy. I think in terms of the beginning, we had less resources mm-hmm. and potentially less experience. I think we were still learning, and that's why you sometimes do move to a smaller market mm-hmm. as a reporter, because you're still gauging things, you're still figuring things out. You don't have six or seven reporters working the night beat that can, you know, pitch different stories. There might only be two reporters working. So if there's, you know, a county fair going on and some sort of violent crime that affects people or some mm-hmm. sort of major accident, you're sort of constricted to covering those things.
Right.
So I found that with more resources, I feel that we're more open to covering different things. Mm-hmm. We're able to.
So Drew, one last question. So what are your thoughts on the subject of what are the current challenges, or for that matter, opportunities that there are there in local news TV?
I think the challenges are adapting to the evolving market, making mm-hmm. sure that you're not so much set in your ways that you're not seeing that evolution and seeing, you know, what people care about, the changing technology. I think that if you become too set, mm-hmm. you know, being a quality journalist and caring about what stories are going on and what is going on in today's climate, whatever it may be, mm-hmm. I think that never changes. But the evolution of how you sometimes tell a story, how you get it out there, mm-hmm. Not just on TV, but through other platforms, I think that is always evolving. And I think that, you know, you need to keep your eyes and ears on that and mm-hmm. listen to, you know, what is going on out there. And I think, you know, as long as you do that, as long as you're down for the ride, I think that, you know, as a journalist, you'll be okay.
Right.
Thank you very much.
Our third and final guest is Jessica Gagne, a sports reporter at WCHS News Center Maine.
You know, Jessica, could you just, starting from being at Northeastern at J School, could you kind of tell us a little more about how was your experience coming to journalism school at Northeastern University, graduating, and then joining a local TV news station? Could you start with that, please?
I definitely could, sure.
Yeah.
So I had a wonderful experience at Northeastern, but it took a little bit of time to get a job in television, and mm-hmm. But I knew that that's what I wanted to do. So basically, I think what I needed to do more of in school mm-hmm. was be less afraid to put myself on tape, because I was so, you know, nervous about learning, oh, am I shooting this right? Am I, does this story make sense? That I didn't do enough, you know, stand-ups. I didn't do enough look lives, mm-hmm. things that showed me on mm-hmm. camera, which is actually what television news directors want to see.
Right.
You know, you can write, you can edit, but if you want to be an on-camera personality, if you want to be an anchor, reporter, or a multimedia journalist, they need to see how you present on television. So I spent the time post-graduation mm-hmm. working on that, putting together a reel, and I ended up landing a job in Bangor, and Maine happens to be my home state as well, so that was a little bit of an advantage.
Mm-hmm.
I already know how to pronounce all the city names and town names because I grew up here, so that's how I ended up there. And I started as a news reporter, but mm-hmm. was quickly promoted to sports anchor. That's what I wanted to do. I wanted to pursue sports broadcasting. So I received the job probably about 9 months in, and then I'd say 6 months after that, I was brought down to our sister station in Portland, Maine, and that's where I am currently. So I am the sports anchor at WCSH 6 in Portland, Maine, and I've been here for, about 3.5 years.
Yeah. In your experience, so have you seen that there is a transformation taking place, or you see that news channels are, to some extent, are reluctant to shake things up when it comes to standard news order?
Sure. I would say here definitely changes is happening for sure, and it has been for a little bit of time. Personally, I would say if the formula doesn't change and adapt, then eventually, you know, stations are going to start falling off because they need to find a way to attract, you know, a new and younger audience that's getting their news from their phone, basically. Okay. You know, nobody really sits down and watches the 6 o'clock news anymore. Just not the way that, you know, our generation operates. Right. So if you can't reach them, then you're, you know, you become irrelevant and nobody watches you. They find their news, you know, at the most convenient place. So that's why we're working on adapting. But I do believe if other stations don't, then they will become irrelevant, phased out.
Right. So you mentioned about some of the, some of the measures your station is taking, particularly to cater to this new audience, to cater to on-demand culture that we see pervasive today. So could you tell us or give us an example of what kind of changes have you done at your station, and particularly, or you've observed anything?
Sure. We actually have implemented a lot of new tools to track our social and digital following and presence. So we use something called Chartbeat that shows us exactly, you know, clicks per story, how our stories are doing versus other stories in the digital realm. And we use that data to actually, you know, to make some decisions on where things are going to be placed in the show or what we should give prominence, how many reporters we should put on certain things. Based on traction that they get through other things besides television. And it's good because it can give us real-time numbers. We can get a lot of analytics happening immediately, whereas in the traditional rating system in television, it has been slow and, you know, by the ratings book, which isn't exactly, you know, in this world. But I do believe that there is some pressure in the way that the world works now, where everybody wants small, digestible nuggets that can come out quickly. And as soon as they see something, they're on to the next, and you need to be able to feed the beast constantly. Puts a lot of pressure on reporters who are especially in that breaking news realm. But I do believe that there is a lot of room for, you know, investigative journalism and storytelling, and there are opportunities locally in local markets to still continue to do that as well too. So it's almost two different arms of the newsroom. We do have a lot of people who are in the breaking news or in the day-to-day kind of news cycle that happens, but we also do try to spend time on like we have a magazine show. We actually have two magazine shows in my building that are a part of our station, and we use those storytellers in our newscast as well too, to make sure that we're not just giving, churning out the facts. We're also weaving in good stories and investigative pieces for the audience.
In implementing that change, was it difficult? Were there growing pains in allocating resources to these new tools to gain people to watch them?
Definitely, and there still are. So just personally speaking, in my we have a digital department now that's been growing. So we started with maybe one digital person, and now I think we have five in the building. But we, as journalists, have all been expected to grow in the digital realm as well, too. So it doesn't fall on a department. It falls on each individual to make sure that they are present across platforms. So, of course, the 6 o'clock news is what I work on. My product needs to be well presented and ready for television, but it also needs to be well presented on our Facebook page. It needs to be well presented on our website. My Instagram and Twitter accounts should be updated as well with what I'm doing throughout the day. So the job of reporter has changed drastically within the last, you know,
Right.
20 years mm-hmm. from you used to be a reporter who went out with a photographer, wrote mm-hmm. your story, and then stood up and fronted it on television.
Right.
Whereas now I shoot, edit, write all my own stories,
right.
and I'm also responsible for making it multi-platform. So
right.
thinking outside of just the television box
mm-hmm.
and how it would appeal.
Right.
On different platforms and what would be more accessible. Like maybe I could just sit there for a minute and have a conversation on Facebook Live, but I can't do that on television.
Mm-hmm.
So we're
mm-hmm.
taught to kind of think what works well on what platform and employ that.
Right.
So it's a lot.
Yeah,
it's a lot in a day for sure for one person to take on. But
yeah.
we do have the support, thankfully, of a great, you know, digital department if we do need
yes.
to reach out and say, oh my God, I'm overwhelmed. Like I can't, can
right.
you throw this up or can you do this for me?
Right.
And they have been great. My company has
mm-hmm.
been great about building up that aspect of the job.
Right.
So I am lucky enough to work for a station that is owned by a big company that owns about 40 stations across the country. So
right.
they've been kind of,
yeah.
you know, working on this from a top-down perspective
yes.
where they're trying to make sure everybody has the tools that they need to be able to adapt to this model.
Right. So we were actually thinking just, you know, in terms of coverage, what changes would you want to see in particular that you don't see are happening right now?
I'm not sure specifically
mm-hmm.
what I think we're missing. I really think it has to do with people. So if we continue to
mm-hmm.
tell stories based on people,
right.
having great characters,
mm-hmm.
You know, and humanizing the things that we're doing,
right.
then we'll continue to succeed. I don't believe that, you know, in
mm-hmm.
television news, the 40-second headlines and the
right.
boom, 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 here's the VO and that's it, move on to the next,
yes.
is what should be focused on. I think what should be focused on is great storytelling,
mm-hmm.
connecting with the community, giving them a reason to watch you
right.
instead of the other, you know, stations in the market because you provide something that's a little bit unique. It's not just the news, but you have people who are skilled at weaving, you know,
mm-hmm.
tales and, or not tales, I'm sorry, weaving stories together
mm-hmm.
and doing it in a way that's memorable.
Right.
So focusing on people
right.
and the community is, I think, what
right.
will guide, you know, our coverage. And sometimes, you know, it's not the happiest stuff, but,
yes.
You know, as long as you can make, personalize it and tailor
yes.
it to the community, I think that's what we do and what we, if we continue to do, will
right.
be good.
Right, right. Thank you so much, Jessica. This was, it was a wonderful, wonderful, you know, insight from your end, from somebody who is reporting on the ground every day.
It
was
great.
Refreshing to listen.
Thanks for calling. I appreciate it.
So now that you've listened to all our three experts, thank you for tuning in.
And be sure to let us know your thoughts. Do you think that local TV news is fading or actually just changing? Let us know in the comments below.
Thank you.